Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. That name that is above all names. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. You know, as we read this, looked at the Sunday school lesson this morning, we can just know. Now we need to be sure that we are on the side of Christ. We need to be sure that we are walking with Him. But we can just know that His side of the battle is going to win. He looked at the church in Smyrna and He said, I see your poverty, but you are rich. And He also looked at the church, I think it was Laodicea, that He said, you are rich and increased with goods and think you need nothing. I see you as poor and destitute. I thank the Lord. This morning our message title is Scripture, God's Word to Us. And I'm thankful that we can read, we can look, we can know what is expected of us, what God takes delight in, and what He wants us to delight in as well. Psalms 119:89 says, Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. I'd like to speak to us today, challenge us maybe, or I guess probably nothing I'm going to say today will be news necessarily. But it's something that I've seen a trend, a tendency maybe, something I've been noticing, as something I'm not speaking to anyone in particular. I'm not trying to somehow get a message to you as an individual from the safety of the pulpit because of a conversation we've had earlier or something like that. I did think as I was putting this together, I did think of some different conversations, different interactions I've had would come to mind, but I can assure you that none of that, I'm not picking on anyone in particular. And it's something that I've seen a need in my own life, and that's really where this comes from. I believe we all do well to be reminded of. What I'd like to look at is, what is the source of my learning? Where do I go to gain understanding on an issue? Does it matter who teaches me? Have I adopted any unsafe practices or tendencies in my learning? And I guess I'll just say right up front, the thing that in my life and what I've noticed, the thing that I see is probably the biggest one is YouTube. And the instant access that we all have to the entire spectrum of teaching that is out there. And again, I'm not picking on anyone in particular. Please hear me. But what I would like to do this morning is to call us to a renewed commitment to the written Word of God as our first and most trusted source of information. And again, this is me. I'm not just talking to you, but I hear it and I see it and I've done it. Where something comes into my mind, a particular subject, and our first impulse is to do a YouTube search or do an internet search and see what the teachers are teaching. And I'm not saying that doesn't have a place. I'm saying that needs to be secondary. We need to first and foremost know what hath God said. This is a new year. A couple of years ago, we handed out reading through the Bible in a year plans, I guess. I would like to invite you, challenge you, ask you to do that again this year. It's a discipline, but it's not only a discipline. Sometimes there are days when reading the Bible is a discipline. You do it because you're going to do it. But maybe what I'd like to really have us think about is reading the Bible in a way that I am coming to God, asking Him to speak to me. Whether I'm discouraged and needing encouragement, and again, there's another thing. It's so easy when I'm down to pop in the CD and listen, or who uses CDs anymore, huh? Pandora, whatever it might be. Listen to songs. Listen. Use that as a way. And I'm not saying any of this is the wrong thing to do, but let's make sure that what we are doing is Bible-based, is accurate, is true, is right. Something I came across recently is Robert Murray McChain's. And I put that up there because it's spelled a little bit odd. M'Cheyne. Robert Murray McChain. He has a Bible reading calendar. You can go online. You can print it free. It's a PDF you can print. And his particular plan actually gets you through the Bible in 1 year. And through the Psalms and the New Testament again. So it's 4 chapters a day. It's broken down into, and you can do it however you want, obviously, with my family. I went ahead and printed copies for my 3 oldest children and for my wife and I. And there are 4 chapters a day. 2 are under the heading of private. That's for you to read by yourself. There are 2 that are under the heading of family. So those are what you would read with the family. If my wife and my 3 oldest and I are disciplined, we will have read through the Bible together. And another thing that I've found is that I've struggled for a while with how to do devotions. Because when my children were small, family devotions often consisted of Dad telling Bible stories. And they loved it. And, you know, I would kind of get into character and use different voices for different people. And it was just fun. But when you're telling the 4-year-old a story, and the 8-year-old says, "Oh, I know this story," then it's not so fun anymore. So it's been hard to kind of, you know, how to keep everyone, you know, keep it interesting for everyone. And I've been amazed, I've been challenged, it doesn't matter the age. We as a family can read scriptures together. Ryan is 7 years old, he's in first grade, he's just learning to read. And he sits beside me, and when it's his turn to read, he stumbles over a lot of the words, I help him. The other night I thought, boy, he just can't be. I mean, he stumbled over so much and whatever. I said, "Do you know what you're reading?" And he was getting it. So, I would just encourage you. It doesn't mean that you have to use this one, but I think it is a good one to use. And I would really encourage us to recommit. And that's the thing I want you to take from this. We're going to be looking at some scriptures. We're going to be maybe reinforcing this point. But in all of this, what I want you to do, I heard years ago, I was reading a book about preaching and you know, sermon presentation, whatever. And I think maybe I've shared this before. But in the book, the one that was writing the book said he remembers being in seminary, and his instructor said, I want you to imagine me sitting on that back bench with my arms folded and kind of just looking at you stern and saying, what do you want me to do? And when you are done preaching, I should know what it is that you expect from me. What am I supposed to change? How am I supposed to go from here different because of the message I heard today? What I would like for you to whether it's going from here different or reinforce or whatever today, but a commitment to having the Bible, the Word of God, as the bedrock of my worldview, of my way of life, of my daily decisions, whatever it is, that I will be in the Word and that I will be using the Word as my guide from day to day. Maybe, I don't know if this is beneficial to say this or not, Jesus told the Pharisees, He says, you read the Scriptures because in them you think you have life, but you won't come to me for life. The Scriptures are not what gives us life. The Scriptures are what teach us how to have life. Jesus is where we get life. But the Scriptures are the roadmap, the owner's manual. Okay, let's look at some verses here. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Okay. I'm having trouble in my life, or I'm wondering if this is how I should live, or whatever it is. How do I understand? Again, we don't Google it. We take heed thereto. We look at my life according to God's Word. By taking heed thereto, by taking heed of my life according to God's Word. Psalm 119, 160. Thy Word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. So there again, we have the confidence that we can have in God's Word. Isaiah 40 verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. And 1 Peter 1, 24 and 25, the verses before this, he's telling us not to put our trust in man. You know, leaders rise, leaders fall. You know, God raises up kings, God sets down kings. All of this happens. And he's saying, don't trust in man or don't trust in what man has to tell you. For all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And then in 2 Peter 1:19, he talks about we have a more sure word of prophecy. Peter's talking about, we were on the Mount of Transfiguration. We saw Jesus glorified before us. And yet we have a more sure word of prophecy than what we, even more sure than what we saw. I'd like for you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. That is where we're going to be doing most of our study this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Starting in verse 10, and we're going to go into 2 Timothy 4, verse 4. So we're going to read the last part of 2 Timothy 3 and go into the first part of 2 Timothy 4. Second Timothy 3, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. This is Paul talking to Timothy. And he's telling Timothy how to teach, how to act as a leader in church. And then he's given him some, we'll just read this. So this is Paul talking to Timothy. Paul as the senior, the one that brought Timothy to Christ, talking to him. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. You've known all of these things about me. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Just a few things I'd like to hit on as I want to go back down through this, starting back up at verse 10 again. But thou hast fully known my doctrine and manner of life. If you go down into verse 14, Paul says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You've observed my character. You know who I am. You've watched me in daily life. You know, Paul is saying to Timothy, you know you can trust what I'm telling you. And the fact that it's me telling you gives it weight. Now, Paul was an apostle. Paul what he wrote was Scripture. What I write is not Scripture. What you write is not Scripture. So Paul had extra weight there in his words to Timothy. But I think it does us well. I think we do well to know who it is, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Turn to Matthew 7. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Keep your finger here, 2 Timothy, if you didn't already move it. I never quite know how much of the Scripture I should put on up on the overhead. I think it's a good, speaking of discipline, it's a good discipline for us to turn in our Bibles and find these Scriptures and read them. That way you know they're there, not just something I'm putting up there. In 13, verse 13 of 2 Timothy, where we were, it says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Notice that they're not just deceiving, they're being deceived. That tells me that these are not just people that are out there. There are those that are out there that are openly, and maybe you could say they're deceived in a sense because they think that the way of God is wrong. But I think what we need to worry more about, those that are out there that, let's take, we just, last Sunday we talked about the church in China. So the president of China is an atheist. The government in China is atheist. They're not going to come into the church. They may compel someone. They may, by beating you or threatening to kill your family, they may turn you away from the truth. But they're not going to deceive you. Being deceived, I'm not sure about that. How that all works with an atheist. But these are in Matthew 7 now. Turn to Matthew 7, verse 15. This is Jesus talking. And he says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So he doesn't say, watch out for the wolves that look like wolves. Watch out for the sheep, the wolves that look like sheep. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Going back to knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So, this is Jesus telling us to be careful. Paul is telling Timothy, continue in the things which thou hast learned, and that would have been the things that Paul taught him, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So I think that we do well to know who it is we are listening to. Know what they believe. What is their doctrine? What is their overall belief system that is influencing how they interpret Scripture? Then he goes on down into, I'm going to go down a little bit and come back, but in the last 15, 16, and 17 there, he talks about the Scriptures and how they, I'll just read that again. And that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. So first he says, continue the things you've known that you've been taught, knowing that of whom you've learned them. Continue the things that you've learned, knowing that it was me that taught you, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. So again, because he knew the Scriptures, he could weigh what Paul was telling him, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, I believe that this applies to all Scripture that we have today. But at the time that Paul was writing this, it would not have been a complete book as it is now. Probably, in general, he was referring to the Old Testament. But he told Timothy that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. And he says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So probably he was talking about the Old Testament. And we kind of think of the Old Testament as being empty and not really having a lot to say to us sometimes. And yet when Philip went down to the Ethiopian eunuch, he was reading in Isaiah and he showed him from the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. They didn't have a shred of the New Testament at that time. The Old Testament is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now there is a New Testament, and it's all given by God, but let's not discount what the Old Testament teaches us. How do they say it? In the Scripture, the plan of God is in the old. It's hidden in the old and in the new revealed. The new is hidden in the old and in the. Oh, now I'm mixed up. I shouldn't have started that. Concealed in the old, revealed in the new. There you are. Thank you. I charge thee therefore. I mention this a lot. When you see a therefore or a wherefore, you see what it's there for. After Paul gives reasons for Timothy to believe and to trust the Scriptures, he says, I charge thee therefore before God, in verse 2, preach the word. Because this is what matters, because this is where the substance is, because this is what we can trust and what we can lean on, I charge you, preach the word. And then he goes through this list, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That is exactly the list that he has for in verse 16, where he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So he's saying, he's just reiterating, because of this, preach the word and reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I've heard the phrase, maybe all of you have heard the phrase, or the notion at least, that I want less doctrine and more relationship. Now, we do need relationship with Jesus, but it has to be based on correct doctrine. And they won't, but after their own lust, they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And this again, I don't think I have it in my notes, but the verse that says that they will creep into houses, I believe that's in the first part of 2 Timothy 3, they creep into houses and take captive silly women. I'm not sure exactly what all that meant in Paul's day and how they were doing that at this time. But we have never, it's never been easier for a false teacher to get into my home and take captive, and I'm not calling my wife a silly woman by any means, but take captive my wife. And it's also never been easier for us to heap to ourselves teachers. We all do our duty, and I'm not trying to, this maybe sounds like I want you to give us more attention and other people less. I don't want it to sound like that. But we all do our duty and come to church on Sunday morning and listen to the message. But there's no way, if that message is not taken and received and applied, there's no way that half hour or 40 minutes or whatever it is on Sunday morning can compete with me watching 10 messages on YouTube or listening to 15 or 20 messages. You can, if you're somebody that's on the road, if you're somebody that's at home working, whatever it is, you can soon listen to a lot of messages through the week. And it's really easy. You're going to go to the ones you like. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong. But again, I'm asking you to be cautious. I'm asking you to be knowledgeable in the Word. It's an irreplaceable discipline to have biblical knowledge, a knowledge of the Scriptures. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Again, I hope none of this sounds like an indictment or a condemnation. I'm not saying that this is where you're at and you need to turn away from it. I just want us to, again, some of the things I was seeing in my own life, and I've tried to address, and also just an encouragement to you to also use a pretty good filter. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And this year, I believe, I don't think I've ever seen it this way, but as I was looking at this, and I could have given some of the verses before this, but I think that what we're saying here is that once we have trusted Christ, we take what God has given, and we believe that, and it gives us a sense of rest. Now, in the Sunday school lesson this morning, it mentioned several times, hold fast. And we talked about running a race. And, you know, there's only one winner in a race. Run like you're the only one in the race, or like you're the only one that can win the race. But there's also this sense of entering into the rest of simply believing God. And here he says, let us enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief, for the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When we have Scripture that tells us, and again, I want to be careful, and I don't want to bring condemnation where it's not due. But we have, okay, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I can read that. Now, do I read that and I say, I believe this because God said? Or do I go to God and I say, can you just show me a way? Show me that you love me. I think we need to be very careful that we ask God to confirm His Word so that we can believe it. I think we need to be very careful of that. Because the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder soul and spirit, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Something that I've done, this is also something I picked up from someone was talking about Bible reading. And he said for him, there's a lot of times if he sits down, you know, in the morning or whenever, there will be, it's hard for him sometimes to simply start reading Scripture and be immediately engaged. And I think we all know what we mean when we say we go to read the Scripture and our mind wanders. Now, right after I said we need to be careful that the Bible is our main source, I'm going to say what I've been doing and I've found it helpful. Right now I'm reading the autobiography of George Mueller. And I have found it easy, I have found it helpful to pick that up and maybe read a chapter in that. Just to get my mind drawn in, to maybe get my mind stilled a little bit. Robert Mueller's autobiography is his diary, and it's answers to prayer, it's his struggles, it's a spiritual book. And maybe something like that will help you get your mind to where you're ready to read Scripture. But anyways, for the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I read that book and I'm challenged by what Robert Mueller did. But what hit me particularly hard this week was when I read that they were praying and a lady who lived in just a couple of doors down had moved in, rented an apartment. And she was an older single lady. She worked hard. She had quite a bit of money. And while they were praying, they were in desperate need, which was normal for them. They never shared their needs with anyone. They simply prayed. While they were praying, this lady was sitting here with plenty of money to meet their immediate needs. And she came to them and said, it's okay, so backing up. I'm reading a book in preparation for reading the Scripture. And there's a knock on their door. And she says, I was reading in the Bible this morning where Jesus said, sell that you have and give alms. I don't think I'm going to share what it was that the Lord laid on my heart at that time. For me, I'm not thinking of anyone else in particular. But how lightly do we read things like that? We look at something we want, we say, I have this much money, I have this much, yep, I can afford it. The Word of God is quick and powerful and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So while I'm reading this book, it's the verse that's printed in the book that spoke to me that morning. Again, I don't think there's any replacement for I don't think there's any more effective door into our hearts than an open Bible and praying before the Lord. Lord, show me. 2 Peter 3:15. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, and which are something. Now this is right after, or not right after, but this is Peter, and he's referring to Paul, and Paul said to Timothy, now do what I said, and follow what I'm telling you, because you know who I am. And Peter says that Paul in his epistles, starting verse 16 again, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest. That word rest is a wrenching. If you think of wrestling, you take somebody and you wrestle them down. They take the scriptures and they twist them to fit their ideals. Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. I wanted to end this on a positive note. I want us to be warned to not be guilty of ourselves not being guilty of it, and be careful not to listen to those who wrest or twist the scriptures. So, how do we balance this holding fast and being beware? That's a warning. That's a caution. How do we balance that with being secure, with being safe, trusting in God? And I don't know if this is a good illustration or not, but it's what I have, so I'm going to use it. The balance of being watchful is not the same as being afraid. The other day, I got a text from my wife. It was a picture. It wasn't a real pretty picture. It was a picture of a chicken that one of the children had found in our nesting box. It was what was left of a chicken. Something had eaten the chicken during the night. And we've not had, just had very little trouble with that. So our chickens are fenced in, but it's not a very secure. I built the fence, so it's not a very secure fence. But no, it's not at all coon or possum or anything really proof. It's chicken proof, and that's about it. I asked some of my expert relatives what they thought it was, and we thought it was probably a possum because it wasn't carried away. It was just simply eaten right there. Anyways, I don't know if it was that night, the next night, whatever it was. I had been out working. I drove the truck up. It was after dark. And I drove the truck up, parked it beside the garage there where I park. And I opened the door, and I heard a chicken squawk. Now, this is an hour after dark. Now, I didn't get afraid, but I knew immediately something is wrong. Chickens don't squawk an hour after dark. So, again, I'm not afraid, but I'm going to investigate. Really, I wasn't afraid. So I got a flashlight and went out there, and there was a possum in the hen house. And we dealt with it appropriately. Now, I could just say, you know what, and truly, if I didn't care about the chickens, maybe I don't care about the chickens. But I could say I'm not going to pay attention to that. I don't care what happens out there. That would be not being afraid, but it would also be not paying attention, not being on your guard. I could have been scared of the possum. What if it's a really big possum? What if it's a cougar? And just simply not gone to investigate. That's not the right response either. I knew there was a problem. I investigated the problem and then dealt with it. So, yes, just a challenge. Let's do inventory. Where am I getting most of my input? What am I trusting? What am I gaining my knowledge from? And just again, a call back to the Word of God. Let's make sure that our foundation is secure. Thank you for your attentiveness. I ask you to stand and we'll have prayer. Father, I thank you again for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you have not left us in the dark, that you've not left us to find our own way. You have spoken to us. You also say, Lord, that the natural man receiveth not the things of God. I pray, Lord, that we would be alive in the Spirit. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would guide us into all truth. I pray that you would make your word alive, make us alive to your word, I guess, Lord. I just pray that you would give us the ability to take it in, to understand, to absorb, and to be changed, to be conformed to the image of your Son. Bless each one. Pray for those that aren't able to be here. I pray your blessing on them. If there's sickness or whatever it might be, Lord, I just pray you watch over our congregation this morning. We thank you. We commit ourselves to you. We bless your name. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.